Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, dear God, for your word. We thank you right now for the ministry of the word. And we pray that we would come alive in the river, that your words would saturate us as that rain saturated that park. Lord, that you would flow and that there would be life and there'd be regeneration and renewal and there would be reproduction in the spread of everything which is good. Father, we pray for Pastor John now as he brings forth your word. Anoint it and bless it. May the Spirit of God move in a powerful and profound way in our lives at this time. Father, we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name, and we all said, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, all throughout this year, we've been talking about the importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And God knew from the very beginning, you know, what kind of world that we would be living in. He knew all the way back before the world was created, the kind of world we'd be living in today. Sounds strange, but he knew. And he knew the kinds of struggles and the kind of, you know, temptations and all the stuff that we would be facing. And he understood also the weakness of our human, carnal, fleshly nature. But he also knew that it was possible for us, even us humans, to have a personal, intimate relationship with him. To live a victorious, powerful, purposeful life, and also to be able to spend eternity with him. All we needed was for him, God, was to send us a little bit of help. Help is on the way, he would say, you know. And that's exactly what he did. That's what our Heavenly Father did. He sent us some help, and that help was the Holy Spirit. God promised his Holy Spirit to each and every one of us. Acts 2:39, this promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, all whom the Lord God will call. That's us. The Holy Spirit is God's promise to every single one of us, God's gift to us, his children, to you individually. It's his promise to you. We're told in Ephesians 5:18 to be filled with the Spirit. Be filled, not get filled, not like just get filled once, but be filled. Be constantly, be continuously filled with the Spirit. And as we are filled in the Spirit, this is how we're able to be to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, and to live in the Spirit. And as we live in the Spirit, God begins to do something to us. He begins this process, this we call a sanctification. It also this process of cultivating or developing or growing or maturing the fruit of the Spirit within us. Galatians 5:22 tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And these fruit represent the character of Christ, and God is literally right now within us. He's transforming us into the image of his Son, Jesus, with ever-increasing glory. We're told in 2 Corinthians 3:18. So we've been studying these fruit, and today we are on gentleness, the fruit of gentleness. In the Bible, when God is talking about gentleness, it's not necessarily the way we would always think of gentleness. The Greek word is praoutis. And like just about every Greek word, it seems like, there's no one English word that can completely capture the essence of what that means. We translate it as gentleness, but there's a lot more to it. Besides gentle, it can also mean humble, considerate, gracious, mild, tender, compassionate, and a whole host of other words, because we can't just take one word and describe a character aspect of somebody, especially God, because there's so much depth to everything that he is. In today's world, those are hardly traits that most people run after. There's not, in the world, I'm talking out there in our world, you think about politics, you think about business, you think about you know, the entertainment, you know, entertainment industry. You don't see too many people straining and clawing and pushing themselves to become humble or gracious or mild or tender or compassionate or considerate. It's just not what they want to be. They want to be tough. They want to be powerful. They want to be, you know, all these other things. And, you know, most people would actually take that word gentle or gentleness and they would equate that with weakness or wimpiness or timidity or cowardness or something like that. And that's not at all what God means when he talks about gentleness. It's far, far, far away from that. God doesn't want us to be timid. He doesn't want us to be weak or wimpy or cowardly. You know, he doesn't want those kind of things in us. But he does want us to be gentle and to have this spirit of gentleness in us. And so what we're going to see, in fact, is that the way God looks at this gentleness, that it's actually a sign of wisdom and power and strength. Something totally, totally different than what we would think. This gentleness it's an attribute of God himself. And if we are supposed to become like God, then we are to pursue gentleness. Makes sense, right? So gentleness is a must for godly leaders who want to grow. And this is something, if we want to grow and become more like God, and we need to grow in this gentleness. That's why it's a fruit of the Spirit. That's why God is building and developing, cultivating, growing, maturing this thing inside of us. Think about how God is awesome in power, in majesty, and yet he is still gracious. He is still compassionate. He's considerate, and he's gentle with his people. God's word gives the example of two leaders that I want to look at. And he lets us see how this gentleness and some other words that sort of flow right along with it are an essential trait in each one of them. First, I want to look at Moses. And we might think of Moses, well, he doesn't seem like such a gentle guy, but we'll see. He's a man who was handpicked by God. Moses was. He was the man that God chose to rescue the whole nation of Israel, with God's help, of course. But he chose Moses to get in there and do the work he's supposed to get this whole nation of Israel and take them from this powerful Egyptian Pharaoh. And we're talking about millions of people. Millions of people. So he leads this nation of Israelites through the Red Sea, across the desert for 40 years. He delivered, he set up, he administered God's law, a system of law, a law that was ordained by God. Somehow he disciplined these 40 million people, these millions of people for 40 years, and brought them to the edge of the promised land. And if you remember, he sat in judgment when people would bring, you know, their troubles and their cares to him. So we know that God was with him, but it was still him, still he, who had to deal with all those people. He's the one who did the hands-on work. And we saw some of the things that, you know, he had to deal with in the Bible, but there's no way that we could have seen all that he went through for 40 years. Think about that. Think about that. This was a major undertaking. Imagine just babysitting 5 or 6 toddlers. Could you imagine taking them through the desert? Could you imagine 5 or 6 turning into 5 or 6 million? Could you imagine doing that for 40 years with no provision, no Pampers, no formula, no food? You know, I mean, trusting in God all the way. Think about it. That's probably how these people acted sometimes, like big babies. So how does God's word describe Moses? Mighty and powerful? Does it lift him up and exalt him and proclaim his great strengths? Actually, we see that, yes, he did get angry a few times in the Bible, and he ended up paying dearly for that when he lost his temper. But in spite of the occasional bouts of anger, God saw something very special in Moses. Numbers 12:3 says, "Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth." More humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. Now that Hebrew word for humble is anav. And Strong's, if you look in Strong's, I forgot the number it was, but there's a number in there for it. And Strong's relates this humility, this humble word humble, to being gentle. To being gentle in our mind and in our thinking, in the way we approach things, in the way we see things. So Moses was this humble man with this gentle spirit, this gentle way of caring for those people. If you remember, he would sit all day long from morning to night. He was judging for the people. He was taking care of their problems. And his father-in-law, Jethro, came up and said, "What are you doing? You're going to kill yourself. You're going to wear yourself out." He said, that's when we saw our first establishment of order, which actually we've taken into the government of this country. He said, divide it up in the 50s, hundreds, and thousands and split it out and order, get judges. And then the judges will watch over the people and take care of their problems, and only the toughest ones will come to you. He was always trying to protect his people. He'd go to God and say, God, you know, sometimes he'd get angry with them because they were sometimes pretty miserable. So did God, in fact. Remember, they didn't enter the promised land, those people, because of their unbelief and their hard-heartedness. So Moses was this humble, gentle-thinking man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth, and yet he was this powerful leader. But there was somebody else who was an even greater leader than Moses, and his name was Jesus. There was no one who was his equal. He stood against the religious establishment of his day. He condemned those religious hypocrites, and if you remember, he threw the merchants out of the temple because they were turning his father's house into a marketplace. He led the multitudes, and including his disciples and his apostles, into the truth of the Scriptures. He explained them. He led them into the truth because he was faithful and true. He took authority over demons, over sickness. He took authority over the wind and the waves and the storms and all of nature. He led millions and millions of people to freedom from bondage when he freely gave his life on the cross, and he sacrificed that life as a payment for our sin. And on top of that, he defeated Satan, and he defeated death. He destroyed death through his resurrection. And he defeated this power over death for us, for all who would follow him. You think there's, I can't imagine that there could possibly be a greater leader than someone like that. There couldn't be. And how does Jesus then describe himself? Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me. Get that part. Learn from me, for I am what? Gentle and humble. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Two of the most powerful men ever to walk the face of this earth, and both of them are described by God in His Word as humble and gentle. So what about us? Corinthians 3:12 tells us, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, here it is again, humility, gentleness, and patience. Or Ephesians 2 tells us to be completely humble and gentle. So again, we see this humility and gentleness are combined. They're connected. They're partners. So what's the deal? Why is this gentleness so important? Why is God so concerned about his people being gentle? Well, the first thing that we need to understand is that this gentleness doesn't always have to do with just outward, actions. It's not just about petting kittens and holding babies and, playing with little puppy dogs and stuff like that. It deals, first of all, with our internal temperament. It's a gentle spirit that God is looking for. Ultimately, this gentle spirit will display itself in our actions, because it's when what's in the heart comes out eventually, right? Out of our mouth and out of our actions. So this gentle spirit will then display itself in how we deal with people and how we deal with authority and how we respond to correction, how we respond to aggravation, to trials and tribulations of life. But all of these are outward expressions of what's going on inside of us. And these outward expressions, the way we respond, either with gentleness or harshness or rejection or however we do, is an indication of how we respond to God's trying to deal with us, God's dealings with us. Gentleness and humility have to do with putting aside our selfish ambitions and determining to live the will of God in our life, to allow His will to come into our life, whether we agree with it or not. Accepting His will is the best thing for our life. It shows that we understand our dependence on God. That's why we need this humility. That's why we need this gentleness. A gentle spirit, it's sort of like a membrane, if you would think it maybe, or a filter in a way, or something that would wrap around us and sort of soften the blow of the things that we feel and the way we receive them. Even like a word from God, we could maybe reject it. We could think it's too hard, but God puts this gentle spirit on us, this sort of like porous filter that can allow God to come in, and if we have this gentleness, we can receive. And it also filters things going out, so that we can deal with, we can put out not so harsh. So it softens our responses. In the same way, I was thinking of I don't know if you guys ever saw this, but I remember a long time ago, there used to be a commercial for Tempur-Pedic mattresses, and they would have a guy standing a ways away, and he would throw an egg at the mattress. And the egg would hit the mattress, and it wouldn't break, even from like 15, 20 feet away, because it would absorb the blow. And so it would be able to receive gently something that was thrown at it hard and soften it, cushion that, so that it could handle it, and it wouldn't break. And sometimes God has hard words for us. Sometimes we need to be dealt with. And our normal human condition doesn't want to hear that. But when we have this gentle spirit, we can receive from God whatever He's got for us. We just take it, and God, I know, because we're humble. And we're dependent on God, and there's this gentle thinking, and we respect Him, we understand that we need Him, that we love Him, that He's all-knowing, all-wise, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and His ways are higher than His ways. And so we're not this hard-hearted person that knows better than anyone. We have this gentleness in us that says, okay, God, okay, You're right, I know I need that. This gentleness, though, is not so gentle or porous that it lets every wind of doctrine come in and blow us all around the place, or every harmful action or hurtful action or every problem come in. It doesn't make us wimpy. So, see, you know, sometimes you have these filters, these things that are porous, and they let a membrane, it lets things through one way and not the other, and it protects. And so it stops, you know, some things. It stops the bad stuff, this gentle spirit, because of our dependence on God. And it's because we got this gentleness that we wouldn't want this harsh ways of the world to come in and turn us. But it allows the correction and the discipline of God. The same gentleness. Think about it. We're so gentle we can receive anything from God because we know we love Him. But we're so gentle, the hardness and the ugliness of the world, we don't want it. We won't let it through. So what it does do, what this gentleness does do, is it helps us to recognize God's voice so that we can let it through. So God can get through to us and speak His wisdom, His correction, His love, His discipline, His mercy, His all these good things to us, everything that we need. There's a story in Elijah that I was reminded of last night. I was thinking of this, and it's in 1 Kings 19. Verse starts in verse 11, and it says, "The Lord said to Elijah, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.' Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. He couldn't look on God, but he could hear Him. And that's when a voice said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' And it was at that time that God explained to him sort of his future. It's when He told him that he was going to have to go and talk to some kings and stuff like that, but the big thing was he was going to Elisha, and he was going to transfer his realm, his power, his authority, his prophetic ministry over to young Elisha. And he heard that through the gentle voice of God. Not in the loudness, not in the power. That's not the way God came to him. So God calls out to us and calls us in His Word even to come and to be still. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." See, God wants us to get quiet before Him. In quietness and confidence is our strength. He wants us to get quiet and get still before Him so that God could speak. And speak into our spirit. And that our gentle spirit will receive from Him. If we learn to listen for the still small voice of God, the gentle voice of God, maybe we could actually avoid some of the potential disasters that could happen in our life because we can't or won't hear His warnings, the warnings that He sends to protect us. You know, the Holy Spirit is always trying to speak to us. He's trying to lead us. He's trying to guide us. And I've personally experienced times in my life where the Holy Spirit has protected me and kept me safe from harm and disaster. And believe me, the Spirit of God is constantly trying to look out for us. But we have to listen. We have to have this gentle spirit that is open to listening to God, to His Spirit. A gentle spirit helps us to be submissive to the Holy Spirit, to His leading, to God's Word. Because God's Word will speak to us, to God's will. It helps us to calmly accept whatever God has caused or whatever God has allowed in our life. we say, you know what? God can use even this. Because I trust God, because God is working all things to the good in my life. So I can have this gentle acceptance of what God is doing. Sometimes I may not like it. Sometimes it might hurt. But when I really trust God and I recognize my dependence on Him, I can accept it and know that He's going to do something great in it. It helps us to not fight God. A gentle spirit helps us to not fight God when He's working to change our attitudes, our perceptions, our character. When He's trying to transform us by the renewing of our minds. Changing our heart, that's a major thing, changing heart. We've maybe heard the thing, the greatest miracle in the world is a changed heart, and it really is. To change somebody's heart, to change their mind, to change their perceptions of life is a major accomplishment. And for God to do that, we have to allow Him to come in. We have to have this ability to receive that, this gentleness. So see, it's really important for God to be able to work in us, for us to have this gentle spirit. That's why Jesus was so mighty and so powerful. See the contrast? It's an amazing contrast. Jesus was mighty and powerful and successful because He was humble and gentle. Humble and gentle enough to always go to the Father to receive. To always hear what He had to say. So that Jesus said, I only say what the Father tells me to say. I only do what the Father tells me to do. Because He could receive that from His Father, because of His gentle, humble nature, He could then take what the Father told Him and go out in power and accomplish amazing things. The greatest leader of all time was gentle and humble enough to hear from His Father and be obedient to His will. So that's why God wants us now to be gentle. So we can hear and understand our Father's will. That's why we need to develop this fruit of the Spirit in our lives. That's why it's in there in the Bible in Galatians. That's why it's listed there. You know, the fruit of the Spirit. So this gentleness can flow and operate in us, and so that we will not be hard-hearted like those Israelites who never made it into the promised land, and so that we will not be hard-headed against God, bull-headed, stubborn. Instead, we can gently receive God's love, His direction and His correction. So as we learn to walk in this same gentleness that Jesus did, what's going to happen is God is going to be able to display then His incomparably great power in us. And God will work this power through our gentleness. He doesn't want to, He's not going to trust somebody who is harsh and mean and tyrant and give them that access to His power, to His wisdom. He needs somebody that can gently distribute and share the same, you know, kind of love and the same wisdom that, like Jesus did, or like He would. Remember how Jesus described Himself in Matthew 11:29, I am gentle and humble in heart. Now think about this. How did Jesus deal with the people that He met? You remember the woman at the well? How did He treat her? He treated her well. Remember the woman that was caught in adultery? How did He treat her? Go and sin no more. What about the woman with the issue of blood that touched the hem of His garment that should have been punished, thrown in prison, or maybe even killed? Your faith has healed you. What about Thomas, who said, I won't even believe it unless I touch His hands and touch the holes? And Jesus said, Thomas, my Lord and my God.
He just had to show himself, his gentleness. Thomas, I'm here for you. What about the paralytic that got lowered into the roof? What about the thief on the cross? You'll be with me this day in paradise. This is the kind of God that we serve. A gentle, loving, humble God. Except for maybe the hypocrites, those hypocritical Pharisees who tried to put their religious privilege and act as elitists and better than everyone's and holier than thou's and actually lead people to destruction. Those he was not gentle with them. They were reprobates. They deserved to be treated harshly. But everyone else, he met with gentleness and kindness and respect. And you know what? They were all sinners, just like us. What a powerful example of gentleness that God has given us in Jesus. And now God's calling us to treat others in the same way. Philippians 4:5, let your gentleness be evident to all. I want to call the prayer team up. Today I just wanted to talk about this gentleness and about how it relates to God and how God's trying to work this gentleness in us. And then next week what we're going to do is we're going to look at the other side of the coin and we're going to see how this gentleness plays out in the way we act in our actions and in our relationships and how this gentleness is going to bring blessing into our lives and use us to be a blessing into other people's lives. You're going to see how this is such a good thing. So if I could have the prayer team come on forward. We're finished for today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for releasing a spirit of gentleness upon your people, that we might be soft towards you, Lord God, that we might be tender and open towards you, that we might be humbled before you and recognize our dependence upon you, Lord God. Give us a gentle spirit so you might be able to speak into our lives, so that you can change us and transform us, so that you can lead us by your Holy Spirit, so that you can use us, so that you can fill us with your power and we can faithfully walk in that power. Hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for that gentle spirit that you've poured out through your Holy Spirit into us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We've got coffee and donuts upstairs, so feel free to hang out. Thanks for coming out today. So far away, you're not alone. Stop holding on and just be here. Your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. I'm on the throne. Stop holding on and just be here. Just be here. Just be here. On a storm, you wonder if our love is still. But if your eyes are on the cross, you know I always have and I always will. And not a tear is wasted. In time, you'll understand. I'm painting beauty with the ashes. Your life is in my hand. So when you're on your knees and answer seems so far away, you're not alone, stop holding on and just be here. Your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. I'm on the throne, stop holding on.